In a lot of ways, unfortunately, what happened last night could not have been worse for this country, for our children, for our grandchildren, for our future. The outcome of our presidential election was seized from the hands of voters, where, of course, it rightly belongs, and now resides in the control of lawyers and courts and highly partisan, clearly corrupt big city bureaucrats. So no matter what happens next, that is a tragedy. Many Americans will never again accept the results of a presidential election. That story is still unfolding tonight, obviously, and we're going to follow it as honestly as we can wherever it leads. We'll begin with that in just a minute. But first, we want to acknowledge the good news. And believe it or not, there is some good news, regardless of everything else that has happened. And here it is. America remains. It's still here. That's the first and most important thing. And it's not a foregone conclusion. We almost lost it. Democrats told us they wanted to beat Donald Trump. They spent more money than anyone ever has in any election in history to do that. But there was a lot more going on. Democrats didn't harness the full power of big tech and the billionaire class simply to make Joe Biden president. No. What they really wanted was total control over everything. No more democracy, no more dissent, permanent obedience from the rest of us. And they came shockingly close to getting that. If Democrats had won the White House and the Senate last night, the country as we know it would have ended. Not because Democrats have bad ideas, though they do, but because Democrats plan to impose an entirely new system on our country. Not an agenda, a system. With nothing to check their power, the left fully intended to eliminate the traditional American balances within our government, along with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights that constrain their power. We're not overstating this. Joe Biden's party planned to turn our highest court into a partisan political weapon. They admitted that. They wrote magazine articles about how they planned to do it. Then they planned to pack the Congress of the United States, the legislative branch, by adding new states to our union, purely for the Senate seats. We're not speculating there either. They admitted that too. Then they planned to pack the electorate itself, the ultimate corruption in a democracy. 20 million foreign nationals added to our voter rolls overnight. That was their agenda. How would any of that improve the United States of America? Well, they never claimed that it would. Making this country better was never the point. The point was to create a permanent Democratic majority, a one-party state with complete control over the population. Never in our history has any mainstream political party proposed an agenda more radical than this. They didn't talk about it much. There's a reason for that, of course. They didn't want to scare you. But it was entirely real.
Guys, Newt Gingrich was Speaker of the House for a while, and he joins us right now, also author of the book, Trump and the American Future. Mr. Speaker, good morning.
Good morning.
It's been
a wild night.
Yeah, no kidding.
Not over.
It sounds like it's going to be a couple of days before we know about Pennsylvania. But right now in Wisconsin, with 95% of the vote in, Joe Biden is leading by just a little. And then over in Michigan, with 90% of the vote in, Joe Biden is trailing the president by a little. So where are we on this Wednesday morning?
Well, you know, former Attorney General of Nevada, Adam Laxalt, warned 6 or 8 weeks ago that the Democrats in Nevada were setting up the state to steal it. I was born in Harrisburg, I think anybody who knows much about Pennsylvania history knows that Philadelphia is a center of vote theft, and that the governor and the governor did all he could to maximize the opportunity to steal votes in Pennsylvania. So I think what you're going to see is when you sit around and you watch, you know, all evening long, six states in which Trump is ahead, well, you're asked to believe none of that counts. And you watch decisions to make other states where Biden is barely ahead go into his column, giving him a psychological boost. And you just wonder what is going on. And I will say I was particularly happy last night that Susan Collins survived a wave of money.
Yes.
And I'm delighted that Senator McConnell is going to be the majority leader of the Senate again. And frankly, from the standpoint of Kevin McCarthy, I think he will have the largest number of women, Black and Latino Republican House members in history, and that they will actually you've gained maybe 10 to 15 seats. So you're going to have a very weakened Nancy Pelosi in Democratic House, a solid Republican majority in the Senate. And now we're in a running fight because, you know, I think from the president's perspective, this looked like a setup to steal the presidency by the Democrats and is a very deliberate model of, you know, You send in ballots after the vote. They don't have to have a signature. They don't have to have a witness. It's an invitation for vote theft.
See Newt Gingrich, of course, former Speaker of the House, one of the smartest people I've ever met, and it's been an honor to know him over the years. We were able to snag him for a few minutes here on the Mike Gallagher Show, Mr. Speaker. Well, here we go.
It's amazing, you know, when you back out and look at the total election, not just the presidency, right. The left threw an amazing amount of money to fail. $80 million to try to beat McConnell, they lost. $80 million to try to beat Lindsey Graham, they lost. About $60 million to try to beat Susan Collins. The amount of money that the left was generating was just astonishing.
Newt, how about Mike Bloomberg's $100 million in Florida? And Florida was one of the biggest nights for Republicans.
Yeah, Bloomberg actually recycles money to our advantage because, you know, he puts it back into the economy and it doesn't have any effect politically. you know, this is a guy who spent over $1 billion to win Guam. So
that's true. There is that. Yeah. You know, Mr. Speaker, let's talk a little bit about these six states and everybody. I mean, I am very, optimistic. I'm enthusiastic about the big blue wave that didn't happen. Like you said, we were being told for months, you know, it was coming. It was coming. Yeah. Texas is going to turn blue. Didn't happen. So we got Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, North Carolina, Georgia. You've been at this a lot longer than I have. From my math, the president needs four of those six states.
Well, plus I would put Arizona back in play.
Right.
The numbers that are coming in Arizona are favorable to Trump. Certainly believe it's back in play, and that changes the equation some. In Nevada and Pennsylvania, you have to deal with the issue of stealing votes. The former Attorney General of Nevada, Adam Laxalt, has been warning for 2 months that the Democrats are going to try to steal the state. And I think that's got to be looked at very carefully. At the same time, Philadelphia is notorious for corruption. And, for example, they had precincts that would not allow poll watchers to come in. Well, those precincts should be just disbanded. Why would you count the votes of a machine that will not let you watch them while they're stealing? So I think you have a challenge there. I think Georgia and North Carolina in the end are for Trump. And I think under any reasonable circumstance that the media would have called Georgia late last night for Trump. And now I think we have, I think we're in Michigan and Wisconsin. And it is very strange that the person that the voice of a few minutes ago, you know, Trump does very well. And then once we know about how many Trump votes there are, all of a sudden there are all these extra votes in Milwaukee or there are all these extra votes in Detroit. Or Philadelphia. And I think, frankly, a lot of it's just plain old-fashioned theft. And it's the last stand of the national establishment trying to turn back Trump and the Trump revolution. And I think that's really the heart of what was going on last night.
But, of course, as you say, the Republicans I'm sure the Trump campaign anticipated this. I've been told that Trump has some of the greatest lawyers in the country that are on the ground that are going to file suits if necessary. They're going to contest this if it looks like the Democrats are up to their old tricks.
Yeah, and I hope they will. But I also hope that they'll look at things like what I just said. I mean, some of it sometimes gets down to this legalistic nitpicking. And as a historian, that may not be the real story. If you have a precinct where the local machine has blocked anybody from poll watching, then if you invalidate every vote coming out of that precinct, you really change the whole equation in Philadelphia.
Right.
And that
right.
would be an example of I think, what has to be done. The other, of course, is that they're going to have to go back and look at every single ballot that was mailed in or was absentee. because in a number of these states, the Democrats have been working for several years at a model of being able to steal the elections. Republicans focus on campaigns, Democrats focus on elections. And one of the reasons I think they weren't as bothered by Biden as we would have been is that he didn't matter that much. What mattered was, could they on election day turn out their vote or manufacture their vote? And that's literally what I think we're seeing happen. I remember a few years back we had a Senate race in Minnesota where the Republican had won very narrowly until all of a sudden, at the very end of the process, they found 300 ballots in the trunk of a car, you know. And that's the sort of stuff you've got to be careful of, because they're used to stealing, and it's part of their modus operandi.
Let's end on an optimistic note about the shape and the substance of today's Republican Party after 4 years of President Donald Trump. There were a lot of Hispanic votes last night that blew Democrats away. A lot of women victories, women with victories around the country. A lot of African American votes. I've heard all my life about the big tent for the Republican Party. It finally seems like it's actually happening. It's not just lip service.
No, that's right. I think part of the achievement of Trump has been to attract people who historically would not have thought they were Republican. And Kevin McCarthy went out of his way to try to recruit African Americans, Latinos, and women candidates, and it paid off. We're having a whole new generation of exciting young people join the Congress in a way that I think is very, very exciting.
Mr. Speaker, I appreciate so much you spending a few minutes with us. We're going to see what happens. We're holding on for dear life. Fingers crossed, prayers up, and keep fighting the good fight. Thank you. Newt Gingrich joining us here on the Mike Gallagher Show.
We have Steve Dace here, who was a little irritated last night. If you think I'm irritated today, I am like a peace, love, and hippie guru at an airport compared to Steve Dace. Steve joins us now. Hi, Steve.
Gentlemen, good morning. As Ringo Starr would say, peace and love.
Right.
Peace and love.
I'm guessing your mood has not improved much since 2 a.m.
No, it has not. in the slightest.
Right. Okay. How are you feeling about the numbers and the way things are going?
What's happening here is the same people that brought you fake news, fake Russian collusion, fake rape allegations against Brett Kavanaugh, fake Ukrainian collusion, fake COVID doomsday models, fake polls have now brought you a fake election. This isn't about numbers, and it's not about specifics. It was about, this is the third and final stage of a plan. And this is a coup. That's what's going on here. And I read what Bill Stepien, the president's campaign manager, said, and he offered some very specific numbers. And here is what this is about now. This is Crips versus Bloods. It is a street fight now. Newt Gingrich advising the president to go to the Republican Congress is like going to the drugstore and buying condoms after she tells you she's pregnant. They won't help you at all. The Republicans want to be rid of him. They want to be rid of his base. They hate him and his base. They will be no help. In fact, even if they wanted to, you wouldn't want their help because they're the apple dumpling gang. Right now, you want your own team on the street, on the ground in Pennsylvania, Arizona, Nevada, in these states, hand-to-hand combat, and it's a brawl. And that ought to be Donald Trump's happy place, much more than the nuances of the halls of Congress. That's what's going on now.
So give me some specifics that show you that this is a coup. Not that I don't disagree with your premise at all, but do we have the evidence that they have already cooked the books? Because the evidence that I see right now is the hey, we all had to go to sleep last night. We couldn't finish counting. That's inexcusable. Something I've never seen before. But do you have any numbers that show anything?
Well, how about the fact that Joe Biden needed to win about 75% of the Hugo Chavez like number in Wisconsin, with less, with not even all of the votes counted. They're saying he actually won like 80 plus percent of that remaining vote. Look at what happened in Virginia last night. And we were talking about this right before we went off the air. And this was my first sign. You know, we had three phases of this election last night. The first phase was Trump had to prove he was in the game. He did that in Florida. The second phase he had to prove was there's a path for him and more than one to get to 270. He did that. Well, then we entered the third phase, what I called last night blue state chicanery. And Virginia is an excellent example. Yet Fox News, with their voter suppression, calls—that's the word we're going with, I guess, today. Fox News and others calling Virginia right away. And yet Trump is leading in the raw data total the entire time. And then at about 11:30 Central Time last night, there was a report from the Fox affiliate there in Fairfax County that they had overcounted Joe Biden's sample by 100,000 votes.
In Fairfax County,
which is the wealthy upscale right county where all the government workers work there.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
it's as blue as California.
Right. But this isn't some, you know, well, you know, it's the inner, it's Wayne County, Detroit. And, you know, that's not what Fairfax County is.
Right.
And they had 100,000 vote error. And then when we went off the air last night at 2 a.m., they still had not updated the Secretary of State's office one time. Now, this is the 21st century. This is an era where we can track anybody down we want. We can. Everybody's concerned about their data being stolen. Everybody's concerned about being tracked everywhere they go. And Florida, with the third highest population in America, the most contested state of the last 50 years in presidential elections, they got this thing all wrapped up by 10 o'clock last night. And the rest of these states can't figure it out in the middle of the night. And it just so happens when they all shut down, Donald Trump is ahead. And when you wake up, oh, by golly, them's the brakes. He's just suddenly behind in every single one of these states. Here's my evidence. Who does the counting? The same people. They lie to us about everything. They've been lying to us about everything this entire time. And this is, it's like the same people that gave you the IHME models are the same ones that are counting these votes.
Are you comfortable at this time? Because everything you say right now, I agree with. However, I don't think I could prove it. I have a bunch of feelings. I have a long string of things that I've never seen before. But, you know, the most compelling thing you said to me was 80% of the vote went for Biden. At the very end, the votes that came in at the very end that they, you know, they found that it hadn't been counted yet. 80% went for Biden. That's not plausible.
No. What you just described is what we would call in a criminal proceeding, prima facie evidence, meaning that there's evidence that an investigation is worthy. It may come up with nothing. But it just means it's more evidence than putting Julie Swetnick on national television. Let me tell you that. It's prima facie evidence that something nefarious has happened. But here's the problem. Who would adjudicate this? The Republicans who voted 50 times to repeal Obamacare when they needed our votes and then didn't do it. John Roberts, who says in the Supreme Court, it's a state exchange. Is this not a state exchange when it's a federal exchange setting up the state exchange? And Obamacare is not a tax, but a mandate that's a tax, even though the Obama administration said it's not a tax. So to whom would we go, Glenn? To whom would we go to have a fair, honest hearing so we can all find out what the actual result was? Would it be the transgendered health secretary of the state of Pennsylvania and the sociopathic governor there? Where would we go to get a real hearing to find out once and for all so we could come together later as a nation and say eventually – we have to put this behind us and take our kids to Little League and school. To whom would we go? To what appeal? Would Fox News and their voter suppression in Arizona last night, you know, conservative media gatekeeper? Where would we go, brother? Where would we go to get the closure you're asking for? I don't know where we would go. Whom is a fair and impartial juror here? Can you name somebody?
Okay, so again, I agree with your feelings. I agree with your premise.
See, I don't think it's a feeling. It's an observation.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
okay, that's you're right. You're right.
We're in.
You're right. You're right. And I agree with where do you go now? Since our job is not just us require, you know, doesn't require us to only state the problem. Where do we go? What do we do, Steve?
This is my fear, Glenn. It's been my fear for the last 6 months in this election, is that we're dealing with forces at work in this country who want a civil war. And I don't want one, Glenn. I make a good living. It ain't as good as yours, and I'm not in the Hall of Fame, brother, but I ain't poor by any stretch. I make a good living. I've got three great kids, a nice life. You know, I want to go home to them. I got a call from my daughter last night. Her store she manages was like third in the whole company nationwide for sales. I want to go home and kiss her and give her a hug. I don't want to do this. But there are nefarious forces at work in this culture that want to remove all the norms, want to remove all the institutions that our founders gave us so that we could have these brawls civilized in a civilized manner. And then one side clearly won and one side clearly lost. And if it was you on the losing end, you went back and got them the best you could next time. And it was on to be in America the next few years. And we'll fight it out again at the next election. These people want to undo this country. They're deconstructionists. They're stained glass window shatterers. And they want to take all of this away so that the people who own all the guns and your audience and mine feel as if they have no alternative, therefore, but to take the law into their own hands. We don't have a political party that represents us. We don't have a court system we can trust. And that's why so many people turned to somebody like Donald Trump to begin with, is they thought with his money, he was independent of the system, that he would fight for us. And now you look at what's happening right now. Where's Mitch McConnell still silent? Where's Kevin McCarthy still silent? Where's all your Republican senators and congressmen silent, standing by like Pontius Pilate, waiting for the Democrat Party to do the deed, and get their grimy, golem little hands back all over this poor, pathetic excuse for a political party we keep bailing out to try to bail ourselves out, because we know that if the Republican Party fails, the last step we probably have is lock and load. And we don't want to do that. But these leftists, they want us to. They want that. They want the end of the country, and they're trying to provoke the Bolsheviks versus the Mensheviks out in St. Petersburg Square as we speak.
I wish you were more passionate. Steve, thank you for last night. Thank you for your analysis. You were spot on last night. I thought you were great, and you have been really, really good. And you've done your homework, I believe, on COVID and on the election. I actually have a couple of things that I need to address today. I'm going to try to see if we have time on the other side of the break to hit one of those things, but there is an answer for this, and it's vital that we all do it. And I'll talk about that here in a second. We'll talk to you later, Steve. Thank you so much.
Americans need to be prepared that we probably won't know the presidential election result on election night because of the unprecedented influx of mail-in ballots. And states have different laws about how many days after the election ballots can arrive.
More than a million votes outstanding. How does that math work, do you think, for Joe Biden to make up that deficit?
Also, they expect violence, but when it goes down, they're going to blame Trump agitators.
If the results show both Trump and Biden neck to neck, you can expect things to be seen that you've never seen before.
The Biden campaign immediately will deploy their list of 1,000 influencers to hit the social and mainstream media waves. The Biden campaign then unleashes what they call their peaceful rallies. But as I showed you earlier in the document, they expect them to become violent. The left expects Trump to respond by federalizing the National Guard and invoking the Insurrection Act. Tell me, why would he have to do that if what they planned was peaceful?
Hello, America, and welcome to the day after. The day after was a spooky movie on ABC when I was growing up. This might even be more spooky, but we're closer to Halloween. The election numbers that you are hearing from the mainstream media, the games that you are hearing, are simply not true. What you're hearing, and Fox News is playing a big role in shoveling this garbage, it is not true. They are, we're looking right now at a situation where in Georgia alone, Donald Trump is 100,000 votes ahead. There are only 60,000 votes left to count. If every single one of them, which is ridiculous to believe, but if every single one of them were for Joe Biden, you'd still be 40,000 votes shy. So why hasn't the state been called yet? And, you know, I said it was ridiculous to believe that every single vote could come in for one guy. That's what they're asking you to believe. Not once, but twice. Just in the last 12 hours, 24 hours, we sat here wondering how the election would come out. 18 hours ago, we were saying, wait a minute, why are we not counting? In every single place, where we are looking at we were looking at a Trump surge, all of a sudden, those states went dark. Those states, well, Philadelphia and Pennsylvania, I mean, hey, if you live in Philadelphia, have a hard enough life, you should get a nap in. 10:30 is awfully late for people to be counting votes. All night? Ridiculous. So what's really going on? Well, we have the inside look from David Barton. Welcome, David. How are you?
Hey, Glenn. Good to be here.
And you have been watching these vote totals all across the country. You have inside information from not only the candidates, but also people on the ground that are actually looking at the totals. And we have Steve Dace from Blaze TV, who also has been relentless on the numbers with COVID and now this. So we have two good logical thinkers that can lay this out. We are going to talk about the media in a few minutes with Megyn Kelly, and we are also going back out on the street with Elijah Schaefer, who last night had his life threatened, and Antifa was trying to kill him in the streets of Washington, D.C. We thank you so much for your sponsorship of this program and this network. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We can't do it without you. The mainstream media, I said 11 years ago, sitting in my office, and David, you were there. I was sitting in my office at Fox, and I said, we have got to get out of here. This place is going to burn itself to the ground. And when I said this place, I didn't mean just Fox. I meant the entire mainstream media. It is over. And the good news that I have to share with you tonight is nobody's afraid anymore. You can call me any name, and I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the average person. Call me any name you want. I don't care. Smear me all you want, because no one believes anything you're saying anymore. No one believes it. We are coalescing not around Donald Trump, but around a guy who was willing to stand for the principles of this country and stand for, quite honestly, to say enough is enough. We're not racist. We're not bad people. This is a good country. Stop it. We're no longer afraid to stand up and say that. Come what may. Now, the problem is what are you going to do? Who's going to punish anybody for what's going on right now? And let's go through the numbers. David, tell me what's happening. The real numbers of what everybody is looking at now on TV. What are the real numbers?
Well, when you look at Georgia and North Carolina and Pennsylvania, they all three should be fairly safely done for Trump, which means all he needs is one other of four states, and Alaska, by the way, goes in that group too. So four states that would go to Trump, then all he needs is either Michigan or Wisconsin or Nevada or Arizona. And all and
no,
three,
Arizona's already been called by Fox.
Oh, yeah. Right. At least ABC had the guts to call it back.
Yeah.
So ABC pulled back on that. Probably, I would say of those three, that it may be Wisconsin that's the hardest to get. And the Trump administration thinks they have a good shot at Arizona. They think they can win Arizona by 30,000 votes. They think they have a good shot at Nevada. And they think they have a good shot at Michigan.
Give me the numbers. Give me the actual numbers, David, because this makes a difference. When you, it's easy to say we have a shot, but when you see the actual numbers mm-hmm. that we know, and we know how many ballots, you know, are supposed to be coming in and are there, we know that number. These calls are not being made by any state that was headed for Donald Trump. And look at the numbers. Go ahead.
Let me take Pennsylvania. These are Trump administration numbers from their attorneys. This is what they're showing the congressman is what they believe is happening. They said in Pennsylvania, there's still about 300,000 ballots in Philadelphia to be counted. Last night, there were 1.4 million, of which 300,000 were in Philadelphia. On their basis, if they win only 5% of Philadelphia, if 95% goes Biden, if they win 5% of Philadelphia, 300,000 votes, and if they only won the rest of the state, the other 1.1 million, with just 30%, if they lost 70-30 to Biden, they would still win the state. So they're up over 700,000 votes.
And how unlikely is it, Steve, that Philadelphia is 5% for Donald Trump?
Last night, they didn't have the numbers on the other side to get out of Philadelphia what they needed to win statewide. But the key there is last night. You know, now they know how many votes they need. And so we just keep on voting until we get the votes that we want.
Tell me what Donald Trump did in Philadelphia last time or a city like Philadelphia.
Well, let's take Detroit. Okay. In Detroit, in the three counties of Detroit, he's winning about 60-40 in Detroit. And so that would be a very anti-Trump city. And so
he's winning 60-40.
Now, if you take Washington, D.C., which is super anti-Trump, it was 95-5 thereabouts.
OK,
so that
Washington, D.C. is not Philadelphia.
That's not Philadelphia.
Right.
It's not Philadelphia and it's not Detroit. So somewhere between the 5 and the 40.
So when you look at the numbers that are there, you do the math. This is when people project and say,
yeah,
we are calling the state because the numbers, it's math. It's not Common Core mm-hmm. math. It's just math.
Well, they might be doing common core math.
Mouth, yeah.
I mean, when we left here last night, Joe Biden had to win 79% of the remaining vote in Wisconsin to catch Donald Trump. They're saying, as of the time we're on the air right now, that he won about 85% of it. They're saying in Wisconsin they had a 90% voter turnout just about statewide. Look at these numbers in the two most populous counties in Wisconsin. Turnout supposedly rose 40% in Milwaukee, the city of Milwaukee, according to these numbers in Wisconsin, compared to 2016. By the way, Milwaukee is one of the slowest growing cities, major cities in the Midwest. Mm. In the last census, it only grew by 1.2%. Mm-hmm. And yet its voter turnout grew 40% over 4 years ago. But then compare it to Dane County, the second largest county next to Milwaukee. They're reporting 85% voter turnout in a county that added just under 50,000 voters total since 2010. So they've added 50,000 registered voters total since 2010, and they've had 85% voter turnout there. And yet Milwaukee County, the largest county in the state, only came in at a modest 67% turnout. It doesn't make any sense. And that 79.
That's the most patriotic city in America.
Apparently it is. And where they tore down Madison, Wisconsin, yeah, which is Dane County, by the way. And to what David, you were just saying, that 79% number is key because if you do the math on what's left in Pennsylvania, that's also what Joe Biden basically has to win mm-hmm. the rest of the way to catch Donald Trump's vote in that state as well.
And if you look also at Wisconsin, with Wisconsin, you have some other things going on. The Trump administration has already filed a lawsuit as well as a contested election for a recount. But part of the lawsuit is that they had places where there was more than 100% voter turnout. And that's a little tough to do.
Not with Common Core. Just show me how you got
Das Vindanya, comrades. Yes.
Yeah, just show me your work. Unfortunately, that's the work they're not willing to show any of us. All right, back in just a second. We're going to talk to Megyn Kelly about the legal side of all of this. What needs to be done? The problem in America is we got lots of crimes. We have lots of criminals. We have tons of evidence. We don't seem to have anybody willing to prosecute anybody and actually make people pay for the wrongs that they do in our society. So is this just a done deal, or is there hope? Megyn Kelly joins us in just a second. All right, if you suffer from frequent or debilitating pain, I know. Hey, can you get a shot of the media painting over there against the wall? I did this painting over the summer during COVID. Just media 2020. Go to the bottom of it. Deceit, slander. They're the gods. Deceit, slander, and omission. Anyway, I 2 years ago, I thought I was going to have to give up painting. And I love it because my hands were so sore, I couldn't even hold a paintbrush. May I suggest you try Relief Factor? I did that, and I am out of pain, and I'm painting like I haven't painted before. I got my life back. Get yours back. Try it. Relief Factor. Give the 3-week quick start just to see if it affects you. Within 3 weeks, you'd have a pretty good idea. That's why 70% of the people who take it go on to order more month after month, because about 70%, it works for you. See if you're part of that 70% and get your life back. Go to relieffactor.com right now, relieffactor.com, or call them at the number at the bottom of the screen.
The mainstream media giants are dying. For too long, they believed they could get away with anything. Fake news, puff pieces, outright lies. But let's get real. Their old school BS is, well, old. We are Blaze TV, the only media platform committed to the stories, issues, and topics that matter to you.
Cut the police. Oh, that's genius. Cut the police.
The right to bear arms. The left doesn't believe in that at all, but they believe in free internet for all.
These people want to control your health care.
Blaze TV has the biggest collection of conservative voices you'll find anywhere.
It is unashamedly conservative constitutionalists.
And we're not beholden to anyone or anything except the truth. So rest in peace, mainstream media. Your time is up. Start watching Blaze TV right now at blazetv.com.
All right, going to Megyn Kelly here in just a second. But first, I want to give you two stories. We're about to break some news on what was happening in Washington, D.C. with Elijah. The feds are now involved. I can't wait to break this news. And also something out of Maricopa County.
Yeah, Maricopa County right now, they're saying so far out of 74,547 ballots, Trump is up 58-41 and a net gain of around 13,000 votes. They thought Trump probably needed to be around, was going to be around 14,000, but that still would put him on pace, given where they think the rest of the state, to get pretty close to their projection that they could win the state of Arizona.
Let me go to Megyn Kelly. Megyn, welcome to the program. By the way, she's got a new podcast out that is absolutely fantastic. I subscribed and rated and reviewed yesterday. It's great. But Megyn, what the hell is happening with Fox News? What is happening?
You know, I can defend them on this one because I know those guys at the decision desk. And they're straight shooters. This is not a partisan thing for them. You know, there are partisans at Fox, but these guys are not among them. The only thing they're scared shitless about is getting it right. That's it. They're like, let's get it right. And they would not have called Arizona for Biden, especially as early as they did, unless they would have gone around. They would have had a vote. Everybody agreed. And then when they got pressure, they would have done it again. There's a bunch of analysts. It's not like one guy. It's like eight guys.
But we're looking at
there's no way that Trump can close the gap.
But that's not true. I mean, it's just not true. We're seeing numbers like in Georgia, 100,000 votes were left to count. 60,000 votes were left to count. There are only 100. They're behind. Biden's behind by 100,000 votes. You only have 60,000. It means Trump wins by 40,000. It's not that complex of math. What's happening?
That I can't explain, and I'm not sure what's going on there. All I can tell you is I'm not behind the scenes with them, and I don't know what their calculations are. Or, you know, they it is a garbage in, garbage out situation, right?
Right,
so if, like,
right,
they get a bunch of information that is wrong, like we saw back in the Iowa caucuses when it was when Mitt Romney became the nominee in 2012. Remember that, like, there was a truck full of ballots that went missing. It was like, okay, no, we can't call anything in the Iowa caucuses if we have a missing truck of ballots. So they're only as good as the information they're given. But all I want to say is I want to vouch for the integrity of that team and their nonpartisan nature. And trust me when I tell you, they're not rooting for anybody other than for themselves to get it right.
Yeah, well, that would be nice if somebody in the media was getting it right. What do you think is ahead? I know you were around for the 2000 election. You watched that. You're an attorney by trade. What is the game plan? How is this going to work from here?
I mean, legal in Pennsylvania, recount in Wisconsin. Michigan's the state they need to be focused on unless they can get Arizona back somehow. I mean, if they can get Arizona back and legal their way through Pennsylvania, it's a Trump victory, right? It's pretty simple, assuming they get North Carolina, and I think they're going to get Georgia. I continue to think they're going to get Georgia. When you've got the head of the Fox decision desk, Arnon in Michigan, say, I'd rather be Trump than Biden in Georgia, I mean, I think that's him telegraphing, we know Trump's going to win it. We just can't say it for sure right now.
Right.
So I'd be shocked if Trump didn't pull out Georgia and North Carolina. And I think he looks good in Pennsylvania, though. You know, I guess it's getting more complicated, and we can talk about why.
Let's stop there. Why more complicated in Pennsylvania?
Well, the hot mess of the mail-in ballots is really offensive, right? It's like, I totally get in the age of Corona encouraging people to do mail-in voting. And I know Trump didn't like it and all that, but, like, I get it why people thought this is a meaningful alternative. I've got an 84-year-old mother-in-law who lives in Montgomery County in the suburbs of Philadelphia. She's not going to go stand at a poll. She can't stand at a poll on a great day. You know, she's not in the greatest shape. So 100% she mail in. But that doesn't mean, A, you should be allowing people to postmark it on the day of the election and counting. Like here in New York, we had to have it into them prior. And that makes sense. If you want to mail in, you got to mail it earlier than they got to make sure they get it by voting day. How are they allowed to decide what a smudge on the ballot means? Like, how are they allowed to say, the postmark, it doesn't make any sense to me. I, Joe Schmo, am going to make a decision about whether this person's vote should count or whether it shouldn't. Like, that's not okay. There should be a huge pile of, you know, ambiguous votes that if it comes down to that close, somebody else is going to decide. But that should not be counted. There's too much subjectivity in the way Pennsylvania is running this thing. And I will say this, the one thing the legal analysts and experts said going into yesterday was the worst case scenario is if it comes down to legal in Pennsylvania because its laws around electoral vote processes are so messed up.
So where do we go from here? What do you see as the next steps? If you were with the Trump campaign, what would you be advising? What would you be saying we should do?
I think they're doing all the right things. Look, I remain skeptical that they can turn this around. I do, just based on the data I'm looking at. But I would fight to the finish, and I would make absolutely sure because, A, he's worked incredibly hard, way harder than Biden has, to win this election, and B, he owes it to his voters. He owes it to them to fight for their votes and to fight for this victory if indeed it is his. And I guess I'll add C, which maybe should have been A, and that's he does have a dishonest media and dishonest electoral watchers running herd on this thing. And so if you think for one moment that the people sitting in, like, the Pennsylvania precincts are thinking, like, I'm just going to, you know, try to find some secret votes for Trump, you're deluding yourself. Like, the system is set up against him. So he does have to fight hard, just like he's done from the time he announced he was running for president.
Do we, with everything that the Transition Integrity Project planned with John Podesta, in their own words, where they, you know, said, we got to get people into the streets. We got to say that Trump is stealing the election. We're going to, you know, make sure that there are peaceful protests everywhere. How long is the fuse on America? I remember 2000. I mean, behind me is that's a voting booth from Florida from the year 2000. That is the Hanging Chad voting booth behind me. I was there. I remember it. If we go through something as long and drawn out as we did in Florida, we don't have the mutual trust of institutions, of each other. We don't even have the mutual respect that we kind of had for each other's parties going into it. How long can this go on before we tear each other apart?
I mean, look, I like to think that we're not going to see Republicans rioting in the streets because they don't really do that.
Right.
I mean,
right.
They don't. If you just look at history, there's not a ton of examples of Republicans throwing fits by looting and breaking things in the street. Now, they express their anger. They'll definitely take it out of the media. They're going to be all over social media. They'll be on digital. But I don't know. I think they'll complain and they'll fight, but then they'll accept. You know, and frankly, if Trump has lost, that's a natural process of being in denial first, right? And then eventually coming to acceptance. That's how it goes for anybody on the losing side. But look, realistically, we have till this Friday in Pennsylvania. We have till November 12th in North Carolina. Wisconsin will be shorter. And I think we're expecting more data on Wisconsin and Michigan and Arizona tomorrow. So we're going to inch closer and closer to knowledge and may not have final knowledge in a worst case scenario till the 12th or so. I think it'll come before that.
And do you have any idea why states are just closing down all information and saying there's really no transparency along the way? We're just going to announce, like, for instance, Nevada. Why that? We've never really done these things before. Everything I'm seeing, I've never seen before.
I'm going to guess, without knowing, that there's a lawyer in someone's ear saying there's no reason to bring the cameras in. You know, if we get challenged on the way we've handled this, we'll show our cards to the appropriate authorities. But for now, no good can come from being that transparent. I mean, and frankly, Glenn, if I were advising one of these elections boards, I might say that too, because my job's not to make the electorate happy. My job is protect my guy's ass. Like, I don't know if my guy's doing everything perfectly, and I really don't want cameras in here. So there are conflicting interests to some extent. And yet another reason why, in an adversarial system, which is what the legal system is, Trump should fight. He should send the lawyers in. We should be totally sure. The blanket should be shook until last piece of lint is off. And we know how it looks and what's real and what's not.
What should the punishment be for anybody who is involved in this? It seems to me, and I think a lot of Americans feel this way, we got lots of crime or suspicions. Seems like we have a lot of evidence on a lot of people on a lot of different things over the last, 8 years, 4 years. But nothing ever happens. Nobody ever really gets in trouble. Nobody ever really goes to jail. Nothing happens anymore in America. If you're powerful or you're a politician or you're part of the game, the rest of us would go to jail, but not them. So if we do find funny business, if we do find things, do you have any confidence that anybody, who do you even trust to look into it now? Do we have people that we can trust to look into it and have confidence that justice will be done?
I would have answered this so differently just a few years ago. But after what we've seen with the FBI, how partisan, even, a guy who I liked, Preet Bharara of the SDNY, how political he is when you get to see him behind the scenes, not to mention Jim Comey. It has shaken my faith in some of these institutions and my belief in trusting them. I think we're raised to respect authority and believe that the system will work. And, I will say one thing. While people may not be going to jail, people, they are having their say and they are making a difference. I mean, the election of President Trump was the people fighting back against these systems they knew were rigged against them.
Right.
His mere election did some of that. And even now, if he loses, the Trump imprint is still there. The willingness to fight,
I honestly think that with the way the media has handled all of this and the deep state has, exposed itself on so many fronts, I think Donald Trump, if he loses, he's Obi-Wan Kenobi. Strike me down. I will be more powerful than you can imagine.
I don't know what that means, but listen, I've been reading all these articles, Glenn, on, is this the end of media? Are they going to get it? Is it the end of wokeness, since that was rejected, I think, pretty clearly in the vote this week? And sadly, like, I really thought about it today, and sadly, I don't think it's the end. I don't think they're going to get the message, and I don't think they're going to change. It's too, they're committed to it. It truly is like an ideological commitment that they think is a higher calling. They think anybody who doesn't share it is truly fundamentally bad. And it's a fight they're going to go down, you know, fighting. Whether they win or lose, they're going to go down fighting. And so I think even if there's better electoral votes for people on the other side, in other words, you know, Republicans retain the Senate, and that ridiculous ballot initiative in California that tried to get people to bless discrimination was rejected. You know, I think even if Republicans continue to have wins like that, and somebody like Trump, who's been called a bigot and a racist for all these years, gets more of the Hispanic vote and improves his margin with black men and improves his margins with LGBT folks, they're not going to listen. So it's going to have to creep up to the point where it's a massive victory, where that blue landslide there, the wave they were looking for, it's going to have to be a red wave all around to where people are shook in the homes again, thinking the 2016 thing was not a fluke. I don't care if I believe it or I don't. In my own self-interest, I have got to start listening to these people. And I don't think we're there. I just don't think we're there.
And do you think that Donald Trump there? I mean, I would think that if they were going to change, they would have treated Donald Trump a little more fairly yesterday and today. I mean, it's just as bad as it's always been with the way they're reacting to the White House and Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, it will be. I'll say this: if Trump loses, let's fast forward 4 years when, you know, President Harris is running for re-election, and the Republicans have to nominate somebody. And assuming it's not Donald Trump, let's say, I don't know. You pick your favorite. Let's say it's a Dan Crenshaw type, somebody who can make Republican arguments full-throatedly, but isn't quite as polarizing as Trump. It'll be interesting to see what happens, because not every Republican can be labeled the way Trump was and sort of sticks his knife in people's craw the way Trump did. And they will label him a sexist and a racist and everything. We saw them do that to Romney over the stupid binders full of women remark, which was basically just talking about women's resumes in his office so he could get more female employees.
Yep.
So they'll try to demonize him. But I do wonder whether it will be as effective when you don't have somebody with, you know, the lighter fluid on the fire all the time the way Trump is.
No, and I think people have been inoculated now. I mean, it's just you can only call people names and vermin so many times before it just doesn't have any meaning whatsoever. And I think if Donald Trump loses, he's going to go out and he's going to start his own cable network. And that will drive the media even more insane. I mean, they are just, and the proof will be in the pudding. People will, they will choose sides again. Because I think Fox, to many people, feels like a letdown, especially after last night.
Well, they've definitely swung a little bit more left than when Roger Ailes had his hands on the
wheel. Yeah, nicely put. Megan, thank you so much for joining me. And you can find her podcast wherever you get podcasts. Just search for Megyn Kelly. It's really good. Thank you so much, Megyn. Appreciate it. Coming up next, we're going to break some news with Elijah Schaefer and what happened live on this broadcast last night. Stand by. All right, so according to Fox News, Goldman Sachs, they have just revised their gold forecast to over $2,300 an ounce in the near term. I don't know if you watched the markets last night while we were broadcasting, but I was, and the markets were swinging back and forth. The volatility now is off the charts. Nobody knows what is coming next. This election is not over and may not be over. For weeks, major retail chains are closing everything up. God helps those who help themselves. You have to do all you can do first. And I'm telling you, you need to preserve something in case there is a massive crash and a crash of the dollar, you have to have something of value that is tangible. Gold is that tangible item. Silver is that tangible item. Find out about portfolio insurance in the form of precious metals. Goldline running an election week special all this week on a limited supply of products. Don't wait to call. They might be sold out if you do by the end of the week. Do it now. 866-GOLDLINE. 866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
While conservative voices are being censored and silenced,
big tech has laid the groundwork to purge voices that it doesn't agree with.
And left-wing propaganda is everywhere.
The media misleads their readers and viewers constantly.
Blaze TV cuts through the clutter.
Defund the police. I mean, are you serious right now?
From the studio.
You need to know what's going on. You need to know about this.
To the streets.
We are out here in Kenosha, Wisconsin, in front of one of several structure fires.
We are news and entertainment.
I am your President Donald J. Trump.
Politics.
Everything that the left wants to perpetuate, they use Black America to do it.
Opinion.
The DNC just strikes people as deeply corrupt.
Nothing will stop the Democrats' march towards socialism.
No mainstream media gatekeepers or big tech overlords. Just conservative hosts.
Can we go just a little bit lighter on the communism?
With conservative values.
The gospel's always there in the forefront, all the time.
Free yourself from the mainstream media.
We need your support, or our voices will be silenced.
Start watching today. Sign up now at blazetv.com.
We have to be willing to put our bodies on the line and take on some discomfort, sacrifice, risk in order to change things. And I've been in conversations where people have never thought about having a gun or like, should I have a gun? But I think we have to know, and I'm going to talk a little bit in a few minutes about what do we do when guns are in the mix? Again, we didn't cause the war. We didn't ask for this war. Many of us are here because we want to fight it. We want something different. What are we willing to do? Right? Because again, we're not dealing with people with just simple guns. We're dealing with people with AR, you know, AK-47s, multiple rounds, a lot of shootings. In order to achieve what they did, they knew they had to take over important government buildings. They knew they had to try and win over members of the police and army, and they had to protect each other. I think we don't have a lot of experience taking over government buildings. There may be some people that are willing to break the windows to get into the government buildings. Like, if that's what we need to do, then we shouldn't fight about that. Let's do that.
What you just saw is something that we have had arguments with Facebook and everybody else. They say that that didn't happen. That's a Zoom call from the left, and part of this this group, three groups all came together for that Zoom call. And I always feel comfortable when people are using, you know, tactics from ISIS. I think that's good. We have Elijah now out in the streets in Washington. I don't want to give any more detail of where he is just based on what happened last night. Hey, Elijah, how are you?
I'm doing all right, Glenn. Thanks for having me on, and I hope you're doing well out there in Dallas.
Well, we're safer than you are. Last night, what we saw was astonishing. We, in the middle of the broadcast, we had to get you out of Washington because there were Antifa members that were looking for you to, and I'm quoting them, to assassinate you.
Yeah, unfortunately, last night was a very precarious situation. Obviously, I'm not in the best reputation with these people, but you know, when you get a call from the Department of Domestic Terrorism from the FBI, you know, warning you to please tread carefully in the DC metropolitan area and to take the threats of assassination seriously, I mean, you know that these people are not messing around, and I didn't want to respond in any way that took what they said lightly.
So this is new news that the FBI is now involved, the federal government is now involved, and telling you to take this seriously, because I heard a lot of people say, oh, that's nothing but hype. They don't mean that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I got a call fully from the FBI. It was quite a long conversation, too, and just really telling me to please be careful because, you know, these people are serious. Their threats are real. Just last night, some of these individuals actually stabbed multiple right-wing people in the middle of the night for what seemed to be no provocation. They even stabbed a black Trump-supporting woman in the back twice, and she's in the hospital. All are expected to recover. So last night they were out for blood. They did stab at least three Trump supporters, and I'm happy to say that I wasn't the fourth victim.
So, yeah, I am too. Elijah, any response, any reach out from the mainstream media? Do they seem to care about any of this?
You know, I think the mainstream media has adopted the same Biden tactic, which is just deny, and write everything off. I mean, I can give video evidence, Glenn, you know this. I can provide an unedited video evidence, like I did in Kenosha, of somebody walking with a Molotov cocktail, lighting it on fire, throwing it into a dump truck, igniting it into flames, and they say that's propaganda. So I've just learned that anything that you do, if it doesn't agree with the most corrupt narratives that are universally accepted amongst the highest institutions, no matter what happens to you, I believe they would rather have me dead. I really do. I believe they'd be happy if I died. Probably they would be rejoicing, saying that I deserved it. Because I know when I got punched in Philadelphia, people were saying, well, you have no business filming the crimes of people. Mm-hmm. You have no business filming black people, Lou. That's their hood. Get out. And these were established, verified people telling me as a reporter that I don't have the right to report on crimes, especially when they come from the left wing.
Besides the stabbings and the Molotov cocktails and the threats to assassinate you, are you all right? I just noticed you looking around. You okay?
Yeah, I mean, they are attacking press out here right now. We have the Lawyers Guild next to us, which is, they wear green hats. For some of your viewers that like to, like to research, the Lawyers Guild, sort of, they are a legal association. They will spot journalists or reporters that they feel are, of course, white supremacists or and essentially anybody who's not radical left, and they will out you to spotters and people who will come attack and destroy your camera crew. Over here, they were starting to attack somebody for saying something that they didn't like. The police have shut down the streets again. We saw shut down DC, the protest group, unloading protest supplies out of a U-Haul truck. They had their traditional orange beanies, and you know, there are definitely people out here that I would say, if they knew who we were and if they knew what was going on around them, I don't think they would be too happy.
So, Elijah, why are they there if they think Biden is going to win? Or is this a protest, shut down the city that just kind of petered out? Or is this building towards something? What's actually happening there now?
You know, I think that's a question Americans want to know, and I will tell you this. That the Black Bloc Antifa groups that they're formerly known as anti-fascist by the media but are anything but, last night they were specifically saying F Trump, F Biden, no more presidents. So they're full on anarchy. They're not going to be stopped. And I actually believe, since the far left radical Democrats in these large cities have sanctioned their violence, whether intentionally or unintentionally, that we're going to see an escalation away from actual damage and riots and more into actual physical attacks. I think they're boosting up to try to assassinate people, realizing that police may not intervene. And overall, these other groups shut down DC. I mean, realistically speaking, these are radical progressives. And Biden is a corporate Democrat sellout. Yes, he could be removed from office. Yes, people say Kamala could get into power. I'm sure of it. I know Bernie and the squad are trying to radicalize him, but none of that's a guarantee. At this point, Biden is not far enough left for the emerging terror cells and radical ideologies that are coming out of these groups. And I do not see their unrest stopping, at least for some time, even with a Biden presidency.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Elijah. Please stay safe. Please, as I say to you every time, listen to the spirit. If it tells you to get out, get out. Promise me that again.
I will, and good. I thank you, and I thank Jesus. I really believe that he's on our side, and I think God is with us. Then who can be against us?
Yeah. Thank you. We have to work to be on the side of Jesus. I think he's on all men's sides. Thank you so much, Elijah. All right. When we come back, I'm going to go back to Steve and David, and we're going to talk about what happens next, what the polls are, what they're actually coming up with, and how do we get the facts out And what comes next if no one's willing to defend those facts or stand up? We do that in just about 60 seconds. I know when you look at me, you think picture of health. Actually, you're probably like, Glenn is great. He's slim. He's wonderful. I mean, he's almost as small as my little hands. When you look at me, you think, how much do you work out? Because you don't get a body like this without working hard. Actually, I don't have Built Bar to thank. Although I do eat Built Bars, and they're good for you, and my wife eats them, and she's healthy and all that crap. I eat them because they taste like candy bars, and so they don't really help me the way they're supposed to. They're high protein, low calorie, low fiber, low carb, and I'm like, real chocolate? It tastes like chocolate chip mint? Really? Does it? You take a bite of it, and you're like, this is fantastic, and only 130 calories. I can have 10 of them. Built Bar improved their already delicious recipe, added 6 new flavors, cookies and cream, caramel brownie, lemon almond cheesecake. They're so good. They're so good. Plus all of their old flavors that they still have that are great. They just reset the code for this new launch of these new flavors. So go now to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code Beck. Get $10 off your first order. Whether you're a pig like me and you're just like, I want that because it's really yummy, or you're trying to do that health thing, go right now, BuiltBar.com, promo code Beck.
Your political reporter's covering a serious medical and health issue, and they're simply not up to the task.
There's a lot of confusion and misinformation.
They were wrong about masks. They were wrong about ventilators. They were wrong about the curve.
In today's world, there's no time for misinformation.
The media's coverage of the coronavirus has been completely lopsided.
And agendas.
They're putting out lies and propaganda.
Many studies, by the way, that the media never covers.
This is why people don't trust the media.
The American people want one thing: truth.
I've dug out the facts.
These are facts.
This is cold hard facts.
You need someone you can trust with no liberal media bias.
We cannot allow the Democrats and the media to strip away our God-given rights.
At Blaze TV, we know the mainstream media is a joke.
Where are you getting this information? Is it the mainstream media?
And we're not afraid to say it.
They all are left-wing hacks.
You, Chris Cuomo, you are a communist sympathizer, and you hate the United States of America.
I have to show you how disingenuous CNN is absolutely being here. It's really incredible.
How much more is this country going to take?
If you're tired of the mainstream media bullshit, join us today. We are Blaze TV.
We're all blurry-eyed from last night, but we want to give you the information that you need. I want to thank you so much, sincerely. You know what's happening in the mainstream media, and honestly, when you have the talent on Fox saying, come on, guys, we're calling that, we're entering a different world, and we can't thank you enough for being a subscriber to Blaze TV. We work really hard to get it right and to not just report on the news, but to tell you what's coming, tell you the news, tell you what it means to you, and then here's what's coming in the future. And you know that if you've been a regular watcher of mine. You can join the Blaze TV now at blazetv.com/Glenn. Join our ever-growing family now, because we are not going to sit down. We are not going to shut up. Let me give Steve Dace, who's one of the guys that does a show every day on Blaze Radio and Blaze TV, right after my morning show. Steve, tell me the most important things America needs to hear right now and needs to know.
That the same people that are reporting you your election results are the same people that provided you a bunch of fake and damaged and corrupt models to shut your country down for the last 7 months.
For COVID.
That they tried to tell you that a very serious virus was Captain Trips in the end of the world. And they presented their untested models, even the Imperial College model, that says right at the beginning, we have no idea how the virus is spread, and then proceeds to tell you how you should shut your life down based on the spread of a virus that they don't know how it's spread. And it's the same kind of quote-unquote reporting you're seeing in this election. And it leads to results like in Michigan yesterday at 4 a.m., there was a dump of about 139,000 votes that was 100% for Joe Biden. 100%.
So what?
And this happened two more times in Pennsylvania. In a rural county in Michigan, Antrim County, about 25,000 people live there. Donald Trump won this county by 30 points 4 years ago. They say in Michigan he lost it last night by 29 points.
That's not possible.
It's not possible.
It's not possible.
It's not possible.
Because that is such an anomaly from everything else we're seeing everywhere in the country. Hang on just a second. Yeah. Would you show, David, could you bring up that chart of those dumps? Bring the Steadicam over here so let's see if you can. You have it on your phone? Or
I do. Got it coming up here.
Because this is quite amazing. If you look at these charts, you will see how the votes are being counted. And then all of a sudden, there's a straight line up. Look at this. Show David's. There is a straight line up.
This is the linear voting. So as the night went, you can see how it went up. The Republicans got ahead of Democrats. When I left at 2 o'clock last night, there was a good margin there. Felt really good about it. Then suddenly you see a straight vertical jump. And 1 second of time, it goes straight up. And to amplify what Steve said, not only was they all 100% Biden votes, they didn't even include the Senate vote. I mean, John James was still ahead of Trump because they didn't vote for Democrat Senator on it. Mm-hmm. So whatever these ballots were, only punched the top, apparently, and nothing else below it. That's not a Democrat voter that does that.
No. And nobody made a mistake. Nobody. Remember,
and nobody voted. Not one vote for Donald Trump.
Not one
it
mistake.
It doesn't happen.
Remember, we had to have a recount in Florida because a bunch of Nimrods in Palm Beach County accidentally voted for Pat Buchanan instead of Al Gore. Remember
because
that?
Of that. Yep.
Yes. And so somehow no one accidentally voted for the wrong candidate. No one voted for the Libertarian. No one voted accidentally for Donald Trump.
Well,
the whole
is,
thing
is
ridiculous.
It's impossible to believe that 100% of any group of ballots came in for only one guy. Not one other person voted.
Let me show this chart too if I can, because you see this is in Wisconsin. The same thing happened. It's a more vivid jump because they have a smaller state population wise. So what you see on this one is the same kind of a jump, and blow it up there a little bit, linear across. Look at the size of that jump that happened about 6:30 in the morning, and it went straight through the roof again. Not down ballot stuff. It's just all there. And they say, oh, yeah, that was just a count that came. No, that's not how the counts come in. It's a linear line. That's what the flow line is. It's completely different.
I remember I came back here in May when states first started to open up. And I did so because I wanted to show my audience, hey, I'm going to practice what I preach. I'm telling you, I think if you are healthy and take precautions, it's safe. Mm-hmm. So I jumped on a plane. I was like one of the three people on a plane. Flew here from Des Moines to Dallas. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting in a hotel just down the street here for my Uber to come pick me up to the studio, and they've got Fox News on in the lobby, and I'm like, God bless Texas, right? I've just been subjected to CNN at the airport for 9 hours, and they've got Fox on in the lobby, and I'm listening, and they bring on a guy from the IHME model about why we need to shut down all the states again, and he's citing his simulations. When we have real-time data of how many people are actually in the hospital for COVID in these states that are reopening right now, And he is saying his simulations are superior to the real-time data. That's what's happening right here.
Right.
Our models and calls, that's what I was so livid when I sat in David's seat last night about Virginia. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, I don't believe Donald Trump's going to win Virginia. But when you're over 50% of the precincts in the entire state and one guy's leading by 200,000 votes and you're calling it, you can't do that. That's irresponsible. That's what they did in Arizona. Fox is doing it in Arizona right now. Here's a rule of thumb in general in life. When you're more biased than CNN, you either suck at this or you're certifiably insane. And that's where they're at right now with the call in Arizona.
So the call in Arizona, let's focus on that for a second.
Let me give some stats on that, because the call, let me show you what the call is crazy, and then hit the call. So this morning, as of last night, this is what Trump guy's attorney said this morning. Last night in Maricopa County, we won 62% of the election day votes that came in. So that we expect to
win. In Maricopa County.
And that's the liberal part.
That is,
so,
that's
blue part.
The city.
That's the blue part.
Got it.
So they got 62%. They said, now, they said in Arizona, they said there are still about 500,000 votes waiting to be counted. We expect to win between 2 out of 3 and 7 out of 10 of the rest of these ballots. We expect to win Arizona by 30,000 votes. They think Arizona will join the president's column. So that's the numbers they have. And anybody that was crunching numbers, we were crunching numbers last night, too. Well, I mean, we called several races. The media refused to call. Tom Tillis, it was real clear. When you looked at 99% in, you saw what was out. Tom Tillis is going to win. Nobody would call him for Senate last night. That was an easy call.
See, this is the thing that people don't understand. I think the average person they're counting on, they don't understand. You know, they saw the polls. And the media is calling the states, and they don't understand math is math.
Yes,
the polls,
that's right.
The polls mean
narrative
nothing.
But narrative is narrative.
Correct,
yeah.
Correct. And so when you look at, for instance, Maricopa County, they also don't understand when they call a state, you have to know which counties mm-hmm. are out. Because if it's all red counties or all blue counties, you're going to see, you're not going to see 100%. They have 100,000 votes out. You're not going to see unless you're
you
in
get 130,
Michigan.
4,000, yeah.
Hey, when we came in here tonight, the state of Michigan's official website still had Donald Trump winning by 212,000 votes in the state with 79 out of 83 counties reporting. That was right there on their website when we came in here to do this show tonight. Now, I'm guessing we can probably guess which four counties in Michigan are still out, mm-hmm. right? Wayne, Oakland, Washtenaw, and what are they doing? Huh? Now we know how many votes we need. I don't know what else to think because it's a full day after the election.
Mm-hmm. But see, here's the thing that goes with that. We know the counties that are out. We know the percentage that was in. One county had 74%, one in 63%. And you've got 200,000 vote lead, and you say, okay, the counties are going 40 to 60 right now, and so there's one-third left to be counted. We know the population of the county, so we know how many votes are still out. Standing, and we can calculate whether right. there's enough there to be able to know if he's going to win or not. Mm-hmm. And it was easy before that 138,000 came in, he was going to win Michigan. I mean, that was it because we knew what was outstanding. We knew the percentage it was coming in at. We knew that what that would put the final total. So until that 138,000 came in, he was winning Michigan.
And that 138,000, 100%?
100%.
100%.
100%.
Every single vote.
100%.
And no one else. No down ballot stuff.
We couldn't tell if they were all no down ballot, but it certainly made no effect. It put Trump down, but it left John James up nearly 6 points higher than Trump.
They just called the John James Gary Peters race about an hour before we started this show. It just got called, right? And so, I mean, that backs
and did
up.
Did James win?
No, they called it for
yeah,
Gary
they
Peters,
it, yeah.
which backs up what you're saying. There's no other way to say this. There is a coup happening. That's happening right now. And it's just a matter of what will be done to stop it, if anything. And I think, or who has the temerity to stop it. I think a big thing, and David has talked to more Republicans in Congress than I have, but I have a history of dealing with Republicans in elected office in situations, maybe not quite this extraordinary, but when the pressure gets on you. And I think it's vitally important to win Arizona. I thought it was preeminently important before we started, but after talking to David, I'll defer to him that maybe they have more spine than I thought. But I certainly think it would reinforce the Republican Party's spine to stand up with Trump if he wins Arizona the natural way, so that then maybe they only have to launch one court challenge, say at a Pennsylvania,
right.
rather than trying to launch five or six of them
right.
all at one at the
but
same
Arizona,
time.
But Arizona, I just want to go back. Maricopa County mm-hmm. is where the bulk of the blue votes
yes.
are.
Trump mm-hmm. won it by 17. The New York Times' Nate Cohn just tweeted out about a half an hour ago when you were interviewing Megyn Kelly. Mm-hmm. With that result, they cannot possibly call Arizona.
What was the
tonight.
Result in Maricopa County?
Trump won by 17, won by 14,000 votes.
Okay. So now, the 500,000 votes that are still left, is it still 500,000 votes?
You found about 78,000 votes,
yeah.
by the way.
Yeah. With Maricopa County coming out, they started the day with 500,000.
Okay. So now they have 78,000 mm-hmm. left, right?
Or he's down by 78,000. Is what I think he cut the lead down.
Yeah,
to 70,
he's 000. Down by 78,000. They still have several hundred thousand to go.
Okay, yeah. But those are all in the red parts of the state.
That's right.
Yeah.
How are you possibly if he won Maricopa County? By 62%?
Or
17%.
Yeah, it was 62% last night. He finishes with
17%.
57%.
I mean, that's That's how you, the math doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't. But how many times have I said this year in various conversations you and I have had about whether it's this election or the polls? How many specific methodologies in these polls for the last few months have I pointed out to you that math doesn't work? How many times have I said this on the COVID models? The math doesn't work. And you know, a poll or a call is a model, just like the models we were given on the virus. That's why I keep making the comparison. And for a model to have integrity, you have to be able to reverse engineer its conclusion. Meaning once you run your math and tell me what your conclusion is, can I run it backwards now and see that your premise or assumption you started from was sound?
That's right.
You can't do that with this. You also notice the errors are all one way. Name me one state that was prematurely called for Trump, and they were like, well, you know, on second thought, let's think twice about that. It didn't happen one time. Nate Cohn at the New York Times last night at about midnight tweeted out, midnight Eastern, oh, wait, I've been so busy, I just noticed some people are still not calling Florida for Trump. Again, when Nate Cohn at the New York Times, who runs the upshot there, and that's their polling and forecasting firm, which was, as Tom Bevin at Real Clear Politics pointed out, hot flaming trash in this election. When Nate Cohn is like, guys, it's okay to call Florida, I don't know what to say when it's so biased that even the New York Times is like, hey, let's get with it here.
So, David, what, I mean, my wife and I made a, you know me, I don't make contributions to political parties, made a massive contribution to the Donald Trump campaign, but I specifically earmarked it, and I said, you know, you got to do what you got to do but I want the bulk of the money to go to the election attorneys, the attorneys that are on the ground right now. And they told me at the time they didn't have money. They weren't they hadn't even really thought about that part of it yet. I don't know how much of that is true. I hope none of that was true. Lie to me about that one.
Knowing Jay Sekulow and Rudy Giuliani, I'm not buying.
Well, but that's different than the RNC.
Oh, the RNC. I'm with the RNC. Probably hadn't thought about it.
Anyway, but I know they're short of cash at the RNC for these kinds of things, flush with cash on the other side. What can the average person do besides cash? What can we do?
What we had last night, this was one of the... I want to be careful here because this is not like a let's make lemonade out of lemon on this, because I still think Trump will win. So having said that, what I love from last night is $11 billion spent. We're outspent on an average of 3-1. And I look at the Senate seats and we lost 2 and gained 2. So we're still neutral there. But they put, in the case of Steve Daines in Montana, less than 1 million people in Montana, they put on their side nearly 45 million against Steve Daines, and he put 21 million against them, and he wins by a wide margin. And then you go to what happened with McConnell. I mean, he is outspent massively. Again, 2-1, it's like 120 million to 60 million. He wins.
The ads don't work anymore. The media doesn't work anymore.
It doesn't.
I mean, it is honestly what
Donald
Trump...
So just board up the counting centers and just steal the election then.
Yeah.
Just do that.
Right.
Yeah.
And it is what Donald Trump taught, we thought, last time. You can't buy it.
You can't buy
it. You can't buy it.
See, even here in Texas...
You can steal it.
You
but
can.
You can't buy it.
In Texas, they were after 9 state House seats last night because that controls redistricting. If we'd lost 9 seats, they put 45 million into state House seats. I mean, that's unbelievable. Two of the state reps had $2 million spent against them in the last week. One of the state reps, his opponent, had 34,000 out-of-state contributions in 8 days. Unbelievable.
David, thank you, Steve. Thank you. Thank you for watching. On radio tomorrow, Rudy Giuliani on the lawsuits. Good night.
I am unashamed. What about you?
Are y'all missing me?
Sorta, but I mean,
we can't even sleep at night without you.
Through technology, Al, you never really miss someone.
Well, but this is another. You know how I love first, Jason, on the podcast. This is another first. We have had guests on, so we know that you can have people zoom in. But this is the first time that one of us has zoomed in for the podcast. So I'm kind of excited about that.
Yeah. Yeah, you sound good. Where are you at, Georgia, Florida?
Yeah, I'm sequestered in a secret location deep in the bowels of Georgia.
I thought you were in Washington last night.
Well, I was. I've been on quite the journey, Jay. So I went to, while we were at our condo, I fly to Seattle, Washington. I drive 3 hours down to Spokane area. Is that where Steve Schultz was from, Dad?
He was in the southeast corner.
That's where I was.
We hunted ducks there, and remember we hung out under apple trees and cherry orchards.
That's what I saw.
It was one of the greatest times. We'd go kill some ducks, because then